Hi, welcome to Conversations on Public Health. I'm your host, Prachi. Join me every week as I travel across India, speaking to folks who are solving massive public health challenges facing our country and the larger developing world. Hi, Abhishek. A very welcome to our show.
Thank you, Prachi. Thank you for having me.
I know that you worked extensively on ensuring proper and dependable oxygen supplies in district hospitals across MP. Because a lot of us have been scrambling for oxygen cylinders and concentrators because of the recent second wave, it would be very, very interesting to hear from you about what the supply chain for oxygen is like in India.
Yeah.
Like, where is the oxygen coming from?
Yeah. So that's a very interesting question again, Prachi. And, you know, given the current times, I think it is important to at least understand how and why the supply is, you know, what's the origin of it. I would say that I had privilege to work on this project again, and I'll try and explain to best of my abilities as how did we understand the oxygen market. Now, if you have to actually break it down, there are like various processes of how oxygen is being delivered. Now, there are like these big industrial plants, like which are called cryogenic plants, which are made by industry, and that's where they would, you know, produce everything, right? I mean, nitrogen, all the gases which are there, industrial oxygen, which is being used for, you know, glass cutting and other areas as well. And one of the byproducts is also medical oxygen, which can come in, you know, both gases and liquid form. Then after that comes these pressure swing adsorption technology, which are the plant sizes can vary anywhere, but the biggest asset of these PSA plants is they are like plug and play. What it means is you can install it in the facility in a area that you can define, and it can start generating oxygen for you based on the tank size, and it can also help you to either fill cylinders through it, or you can have a piped connection to it that can go directly to the wards of the hospital and supply that oxygen.
But how big are these PSA oxygen generators?
So it can vary. So whatever plants that I saw, they could fit in like a 500 square feet area. It would be outside. A one-room kitchen in Bombay, if it doesn't have walls, can actually house it. But it needs, you know, some kind of air. You know, largely it has been recommended that you should have it in the outside premises. And then it can, as per the tank size, it can also go up to a larger area. So I think if we have to talk about minimal, then it would, you know, it would be, 500 square feet can also, you know, work for
house it.
Yeah, house it. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, then we come to, one key factor there is, you know, it takes the air and then, you know, it then divides, separates the nitrogen and argon elements out of it, gets oxygen into the tank, and then it supplies. So then it's like a sustainable model, as you would say. As long as you have electricity, as long as you have maintained all the other parts of it, and then it should be fine. Correct. The next version then we talk about is the oxygen concentrators. These are basically on the similar function as pressure swing adsorption, but at a very smaller level. So you can again plug and play. It's just that, you know, as the flow rate is, you know, higher, needed higher in some cases, oxygen concentrator can have certain limitations. That's why we would have seen, at least in COVID cases as well, you know, people, there was a you know, horde of people were needing oxygen concentrators, and in that a lot of, you know, quality compromised oxygen cylinders were also, you know, being sold in the market. A lot of oxygen concentrators that I personally saw on WhatsApp for like giving 5 liters at 28% of purity. Now, it is very important for people to understand the purity markers, because that's what you're trying to say when you're giving oxygen therapy, that 93% plus or minus 3% is something the infused oxygen that needs to be given in a particular children's body.
So just to summarize what you've told us about oxygen generation, there's like three levels of generation. One is industrial generation, and there we have oxygen that is generated, then cryogenically compressed into liquid and then transported across different places wherever it may be needed. Second is a PSA plant or a generator, which is attached to probably a hospital or a clinic. And the third is a concentrator, which is like for personal use, mostly.
Yeah, second, I would say hospital, at least, you know, 200-bed hospital, I think.
A hospital,
yeah.
Okay.
A clinic would be too less.
And the PSA plant and the concentrator both use the air and electricity as their raw materials.
Yeah, if you have to simplify,
right,
that would be the way I would put it.
So as I understand, these are the three categories of oxygen generation. Can we talk a little bit about these industrial oxygen plants? Like, how many of those do we have in India? Like, I read somewhere that India was the largest producer of oxygen in the world.
Yeah, to be honest, Prachi, I wish I had like more information on that. A lot of my energy was, you know, spent on understanding the PSA plant. But what do I know is, there are like very few companies in India, like Linde, Aerox, Inox. These are, you know, some of the companies that do have, you know, their own industrial plants, where they're also one of the, you know, bigger suppliers for oxygen, you know, cylinders, where they have oxygen filling plants. And there would be multiple. These are just, you know, a couple of, you know, names that are coming to my mind. But it's, I would describe it as, it as oligopoly market, where there are like few sellers at that.
And I also, you know, read that one of the bottlenecks, when it came to oxygen supply was just the lack of tankers in India that could do this work. Because even though we had enough oxygen, we just didn't have the facility to transport this oxygen.
Yeah, look, I think there are like a lot of theories and about, you know, what could have happened and what, you know, what we could have done at that particular point of time. I think running behind the eight ball is always going to hurt us anywhere, right? And it's not just oxygen. We were running behind the eight ball when it came to remdesivir or, you know, that, or concentrators, as I was saying. Like, someone was selling 28% purity concentrator at 5-liter flow. That is, you know, that is, you're telling the patient to sit in normal air
just
and breathe, right? That is going to give them like more oxygen than, you know, this false pretense.
Right, because like regular air has, I think, what, 25% oxygen in it anyway.
Yeah, 21 is what I know.
21,
yeah.
Right.
But I think the point is, you know, these investments need to be done very strategically and very prudently, I would put it.
Right. So as a layman, how should I judge for what is like 95% purity or what is 93% purity? What is it that I really need when I am, you know, down with pneumonia or COVID?
Yeah, general recommendation is that your oxygen should be 93% purity at least, and it can it can fluctuate between 90% to 96% based on, you know, how that particular flows, especially when it comes to, you know, oxygen coming from oxygen coming from PSA slash or the concentrators. When it comes to oxygen cylinders, mostly it is 99% purity that is, you know, infused. How would you calculate? So normally there is a a particular product that comes out to check how much purity this particular oxygen equipment is giving, and that just mm-hmm. needs to be, you know, put into the outlet. That is not a very normal practice. So normally they do some quality assurance to ensure that, you know, and rely on also on the manufacturers on mm-hmm. what they are claiming, because on that right. basis they are going to get the quality certifications.
So there were a lot of these oxygen filling plants around Delhi and, you know, other cities where a lot of us were running to with cylinders. Do they get cryogenic oxygen, or do they have their own PSA plants? I mean, I'm sure it would differ.
Normally it would be, you know, cryogenic, which would have given to a distribution and then they would be filling it. Unless and until they are just into, you know, medical oxygen gases. And that is rarity, right? Because people will, in this particular business, would also have nitrogen and the other gases which are needed.
So we know that oxygen is used, you know, in hospitals. But are there other gases also which are used?
Yeah, I'm aware about nitrogen. So I think there were like outlets that are, you know, so any hospital that has, you know, gas pipeline would have different color coded, you know, pipelines coming to the wards as outlets. Okay. So I think, yes, it is being used in.
So would also have nitrogen supply as part of their facilities, ideally.
Yes, they would.
Just now, shifting gears and talking a little bit about the PSA plants that you worked on.
Right.
Right. So what exactly are these PSA plants? I mean, you spoke a little bit about the fact that they are, you know, these little generators which are in hospital premises, and they'll be able to sort of generate enough oxygen to run a small hospital. But where are these PSA plants made? I mean, does India make its own, or are we importing them?
Oh no, there are like multiple players who are, you know, making it in India, and because the technology is there are like multiple international players as well.
Right. As part of your work, what exact intervention were you trying to enforce?
Yeah, so there was, you know, when we looked at the whole supply chain of oxygen distribution, we realize that, you know, it can become a little bit of a hassle for, you know, districts that do have to depend on oxygen cylinders. Let's talk about MP. If you know the map of MP, something like Rewa or Satna, which are like almost on the
back of the beyond,
exactly on the eastern side of MP, it is really difficult for someone to supply oxygen, let's say from Bhopal or even Jabalpur. It's mm-hmm. you know, pretty far off. And so what if they have their own generation plant operated by them, and that they can also, you know, take or generate oxygen and supply in the closer proximity? So it was more in terms of, you know, how do you put sustainable models in the system to ensure that, you know, they have like regular supply of oxygen. And nowhere I'm saying that, you know, it becomes the cylinders become redundant, but at least it gives you options.
What was the existing infrastructure around you know, oxygen in district hospitals? Were they all getting their oxygen in cans from these cryogenically supplied oxygen providers?
Yeah, I mean, largely it is dependent on, if you look at most of the hospitals, not just in MP but other states as well, it is largely given by oxygen cylinders or concentrators for, you know, most of their dependencies is on that. Unless and until there is an AIIMS, like in Delhi, that does have like the liquid oxygen tanks, so which actually basically it's like a water tank, I would say, for simplification. And because it is expandable, so from liquid to gas, I think the storage capacity just, you know, exponentially increases. So that's one of the key reasons why people would prefer to keep it in the liquid form. But it also is, you know, highly inflammable, so you need to have like certain certifications from Center of Explosives, which is in Nagpur, to ensure that you have all the safety measures taken. But yeah, those are, you know, some of the
ways that most of the, at least public health hospitals, were operating. And now, because
right.
of the push, there are a certain number of PSA plants that we see are getting in both public and private sectors.
Which of these is more cost effective? Like having a PSA plant or getting oxygen to your tanks?
Yeah, I think it depends on how you actually look at it. For example, you know, oxygen therapy is part of your national essential drugs list, which also
mm-hmm.
comes under the drug price ceiling order 2013, which actually caps the prices of, you know, the special or essential drugs or therapies to ensure that, you know, these are not misused. So there is price attached to, you know, how much of a cubic meter of oxygen can be sold at what price. But a lot of the price goes into distribution and logistical acrobatics that one has to perform. And so effectively the cost of cylinder goes really high. If you really have to look at a long sustaining option of having oxygen, then, and if you have like a good way, you know, that it is going to be used in a particular hospital, then it outweighs quite a lot, at least in terms of, you know, oxygen cylinders that you're going to purchase in a particular hospital. But you have to be patient to understand when you're going to break even, because it is capital intensive investment initially, and also to maintain it. So the returns are not going to come to any hospital until they are like in the third or fourth year. The good part about PSA plants are they can run up to 15 years. So it is a long-term sustainable solution, I would say.
You know, just for clarity, how much do they cost?
A lot of suppliers will call me and kill me for answering this question. But I mean, the investment would range anywhere from, you know, 50 to 80 lakhs or even below that.
Okay.
Just the cost of the plant, but I think there are like other costs that, you know, one has to ensure before they put
mm-hmm.
it in the plug and play to install it and all the other things.
Do you think after COVID the supply chain of at least medical oxygen has like completely changed?
So again, we have to look at this as, you know, something that is not going to change overnight, because you can't, even if you think that you can put a lot of plants overnight, it is the capacity that you'll have to ensure that when does it start, you know, producing it, when do you install it. I would say that it has brought the attention for sure in terms of that, you know, whatever oxygen that we thought had enough is definitely something that we should look at. And one of the key things that comes to my mind, how do we focus this, is basically it's not enough to, let's say, look at average consumption of oxygen to come to a picture and say that, look, this much oxygen is going to be enough. You always have to think about the worst possible day and think about the peak consumption of, let's say, my all 200 beds, if I have in my hospital, 50 of them have outlet for oxygen and 30 have provisions for oxygen cylinders. Let's say they have to be consumed for every minute of that particular day. Then we can put buffers on it to say that, you know, this is the need for oxygen. I can again understand that there would be a lot of counter arguments saying that, look, this is over investment, or do we think we are putting more funds? But these are going to make the systems resilient. Otherwise, you know, we are going to get into this situation again, because it's the estimation or the methods of estimation that are going to be bottlenecks.
Financing has always been an issue in this country, right? Especially in the public health system.
True. So nowhere I'm saying that, you know, it is going to be, you know, easy. And when one has to put investment upfront,
mm-hmm.
It is really, really important to understand that, you know, do we really know what investment we are going to put, and when do we actually think about reaping benefits out of it? So I agree there is going to be a lot of you know, you're going to empty a lot of treasury to procure these particular plants. But it is something that can be taken prudently, considering that, you know, this is the need of the hour. And I'm not saying that people need to put all their PSC plants, you know, today. It can be a gradual process where you put, you know, four or five in first year. Create a hub and spoke around it so that, you know, you can also, because these PSA plants also come with something called as booster, which can help you fill these cylinders. And then you can, you know, create a smaller way of, you know, again, to ensure that transportation is done quickly. I mean, yes, I mean, there is always an argument of finance that comes through. But let's be honest, what's the percentage of GDP that we are putting in public health or, you know, health in general? Is it enough if we have to compare to other countries? Probably not.
No.
And so one of the key things is, you know, if we have to build resilient systems, that is one has to pay that price to ensure that, you know, of building it, or, you know, price, I would say, investments to ensure that these systems are resilient in the coming future.
Is there a surplus of like concentrators and PSA plants because of the second wave? I understand that a lot of countries have kind of sent over PSA plants and, you know, concentrators, tankers into India. I don't think they'll actually be sent back to these countries, as in it's sent as aid, so they'll probably stay in. How do you think, you know, because your understanding of the system is superior, how do you think we should be dealing with this, with these resources, you know, because we won't be needing them in some time, hopefully. I mean, they'll be sort of surplus.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where my point of difference is. I'm not saying that unless and until someone takes account of, you know, how much has been donated by these folks, we'll get to know, you know, if this is surplus, and really we do not know, and probably we can then donate it to some other country that is in need. But, you know, talking about it upfront, as I said, do we think any private sector hospital is also, you know, taking investments or making investment in terms of what's the maximum capacity that they can produce or that they have in buffer? I don't think so. There are like buffer norms in terms of how much, you know, a hospital should keep if they are providing oxygen. Do they always follow? Probably not. And so jumping quickly in terms of, you know, like we always say a cobweb model in agriculture, right? Agriculture economics, that you sow tomatoes, but, you know, everyone else sows tomatoes, so prices go down. So next, let's say onions go up. So next time when you actually sow onions, everyone grows onions, and then again the prices of onion go down. And so it's a constant cobweb model or a spiral model that you are entangled into. But when it comes to the systems, we should actually look at systematically which are the states, or, you know, how we can ensure the access problem of, you know, people are not getting oxygen. Do they have enough modes of getting it today? Are they permanent? Are they actually temporary? And then we can take a call whether, you know, this is surplus or not. And yes, I mean, if it is surplus and if we think that, you know, it is not going to be needed, then we can think of, you know, donating it. Let's hold our horses, because unless there is like herd immunity or, you know, vaccination to a considerable amount of population.
Okay. Just to quickly also talk about oxygen concentrators, because we missed out on that earlier. Are these made in India or are these also imported?
No, there are like Indian companies which do make oxygen concentrators. We also get some imported from UK, US, and also China. But yes, I mean, that technology is also built in India as well.
Pre-COVID, at what prices do you think we would have been able to buy concentrators at? Because as I understand, like, prices have obviously jacked up massively.
Roughly around 46,000 to 48,000 for a 10-liter oxygen concentrator, giving a purity of 93% plus or minus 3%. was available, at least on
okay.
you know, Amazon and any other websites that I had searched on then. Prices were jacked up, but now I think NPPA, National Pharmaceutical Pricing Authority, have come out and, you know, they are also considering to put a, you know, price ceiling for, you know, oxygen concentrators as well, based on their specifications. So that situation probably will not happen next time.
This has been a very enlightening conversation for me and I'm sure everyone who's been listening to us.
Thank you, Prachi. Thank you for inviting.
Pleasure talking to you again and talking about these nuances in public health.